right now, the Stars and Stripes and some really bad singing. It was Nat King Cole who warned, if you do nothing else in your life, don't ever sing the national anthem at a ball game. If only Roseanne Barr had taken his advice. Okay, we're going to take that out. We don't want to play any more of that, Dave, over your radio, lest you touch the dial. Fortunately, Pat Morrison takes up the cause of the anthem in her column today. Forget a flag-burning amendment, she says. It is time to protect the national anthem. We need to have some standards, after all. I'm sure we've all missed a line or two of the national anthem, but here's what we need. Give us your best, your worst stories of messing up the national anthem. It could be you, a friend, a celebrity. The number is 800-989-8255 or 800-989-TALK. Email us at talk@npr.org. And don't forget the blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Pat Morrison is a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. She hosts a show on member station KPCC in Pasadena, California, and she's in a studio there right now. Pat, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Andrea. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you. Okay, so let the ACLU scream, you write. We deserve better singing.
We have to decide what the anthem is. Is it going to be something moving and dignified, even though, of course, it was based on a drinking song? Or is it going to be just fresh material for YouTube and The Daily Show?
You say even though you put in that sort of aside about how it's a drinking song. That seems like you're trying to stab it in the back there.
Well, I'm all for drinking songs, but as a national anthem, I think at ball games it just suggests that maybe you better have another beer before they start to sing.
I was interested looking at your column. I realized that the anthem was established by President Hoover in March of 1931, actually not so long ago.
It's a fairly recent vintage. It was sung occasionally, but so was America the Beautiful, which is the big contender among my readers, and a paragraph that was left on the cutting room floor. America the Beautiful, people know the tune, they can sing it. This has a range of an octave and a half, and for a national anthem, it's so difficult. The words by Francis Scott Key are so poetic that they don't even make sense to a modern ear. Maybe it is time for a change.
I once heard some sort of lofty, dusty musicologist on NPR talk about how you can't have the highest, the sort of denouement of the song be the sound E, as in land of the free. This sort of becomes screechy.
And who can deliver those notes? It's kind of cute when a kid tries it, but when you've got a professional adult singer who still can't manage it, or someone like Carl Lewis, who's won 9 Olympic gold medals, which means he's heard the anthem at least that many times, and he can't muster the tune or the words?
And then there are the performers who stylize the anthem.
Oh, when they go into this American Idol vibrato as if they were auditioning or putting it on their CD, it is just too much. It is not a gospel song. It is not a ballad song. It is not a soul tune. It is the anthem.
Okay, let's get to a couple of our calls here. Andrew in Cleveland. Hi, you're on Talk of the Nation. What's your story?
Hi, I just wanted to back up what your caller just mentioned about the range of the song. Well, most people don't realize this. It's a very, very hard song to sing. Just on the pitches alone, you go into that song too low or too high, and you're going to either bottom out or blow out your chords. And one of the most infamous things about Robert Goulet was people always said that he screwed up the anthem. And what most people don't realize is it wasn't just the anthem. Robert Goulet is notorious for screwing up song lyrics. One of the funnier stories I ever heard was he was in a production of The Fantastics and he couldn't get out the lyric, try to remember that time in September. He couldn't remember that time in September. And he had to start the song like 3 times, just like he did with the anthem.
Thanks. Thanks for your call, Andrew. Let's go to Shelby in Moreno Valley. Hi, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi. I got a chance to sing the Star-Spangled Banner for a Mariner game in Seattle, Washington. I'm an opera singer, and they warned the sound people in the dugout, warned the people up top not to turn it up, not to turn up the sound. Well, they didn't listen. They turned it up, and I got up, oh, say, can you see? And it reverbed all the way through the entire kingdom.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. And I wasn't embarrassed, but you should have seen my then-fiancé and the guy in the dugout just laughing. They were rolling off the seats, and of course they turned it back down, and everybody wondered what the reverberation was all the way through the place. And
maybe this song, Pat? Maybe this song needs the kind of warning you see on car commercials. Professional driver, closed course, do not try this at home.
Ah, Dan in Salt Lake City, go ahead.
Hi. Some friends of mine and I used to sing the national anthem at the games like Utah Jazz basketball games. And we would warm up singing the lyrics to Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, which matched the song precisely.
Oh, yeah? Can you do it for us? Go.
Well, there's a lady who's sure all that glitters, who's gold, you know, it's... we were once nearly not allowed to sing because they thought we were actually going to do that once we got out in the arena.
Thanks for your call, Dan. Pat Morrison, I want to read a line to our listeners from your column today. It's a bunch of ways that the anthem has been butchered in terms of lyrics. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early night what so loudly we sang at the daylight's last cleaning, whose bright stripes and broad stars through the perilous fight for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly screaming.
Yes, by the end of listening to that, I was screaming. Who wouldn't be? It's a shame because anthems are supposed to symbolize the country. And if you have a song that people don't know the words to and can't sing, 2 out of 3 Americans do not know the words, all the words to the Star-Spangled Banner, 200 million people. What kind of anthem is it?
I guess that's a good question. So do you think any politicians will take up your cause or propose an amendment?
Well, there are a lot of people who want America the Beautiful. You could have America the Beautiful when you're at peace and the battle hymn of the Republic when you're at war, which, of course, suggests we wouldn't be hearing America the Beautiful for quite some time. But I think it would be a good gesture to the nation, an inclusive gesture. Rather than have something like your earlier caller, you have to be an operatic diva to be able to manage this song. People want to sing the national anthem. They want it to mean something to them. And when you turn it into a joke, you can go on YouTube, and I probably listened to 15 horrific versions on YouTube. If that's what the anthem has become, maybe it's time for a change.
Okay, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. A quick email from Anne in Akron, Ohio. She says, related to the butchering of the Star-Spangled Banner, I am tired of hearing singers glide on the notes so that it sounds like the song starts, Jose, can you see? Like, Jose, can you see? It's just as bad with hand the rocket's red glare and hoer the land of the free. I can't believe Americans think these people are good singers. It's especially bad with country female singers, says Anne. And let's go quickly to Jeremy in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, what's your story?
Hi, I'm a musician with the military, and subjected constantly.
How often do you think you hear this song in a week?
We hear it anywhere from 5 to 10 times in a week.
Jeremy, I have to ask you, do you get combat pay for having to hear bad renderings of this?
I certainly think we deserve it from time to time, I promise you that.
So what's the worst you've heard, Jeremy?
Just, I have to admit, I can't single out an individual time, but everything that's been already assessed and just the most ridiculous liberty taken with the song and with the melody. And it's ironic because part of our job includes us learning a Department of Defense sanctioned version of the anthem. We're under orders not to deviate from that specific version.
You're kidding. And what does that lay out? I mean, is it the standard version we've all heard?
Yes, it is. It's very standardized and very respectful, I think, of the history of the song and the intent.
And who do you think at the Department of Defense is in charge of putting their stamp on the way that you guys play?
I think it's a large grouping of people, just kind of a consolidated opinion on trying to maintain that respect. And I certainly don't think they've been consulted when you hear the butchering, I think.
Jeremy.
Does anybody's pay get docked for doing it wrong?
No, because we actually don't do it wrong. It's the people that we're conveniently asked a few minutes before we play to let someone sing the anthem in our place. And so it's usually a long few minutes of stifled giggles and bated breath.
Thanks for your call, Jeremy. Pat Morrison, let me ask you, you have a more practical solution to the performances. As you were just saying, if people screw up the anthem, then they should lose their fee.
They forfeit their fee, and it goes to middle school music classes. This clearly is the last opportunity we have to teach people how to do it right. So maybe if we can work it this way, all the money that, well, Whitney Houston did a very popular lip sync version at the Super Bowl, but Marvin Gaye's, which went on for more than 2.5 minutes at a basketball championship, forfeit those fees, put them to teaching kids the words and the music.
Hannah in Sacramento, go ahead.
I love our national anthem.
Oh, somebody to speak for the anthem.
Yes, I think it's great. And when my babies were born, I sang that to them. And I don't sing well, and I don't care. It's our song.
What do you love about it? Just that it is?
I do love the words. I think that, you know, when it really gets me is like when the Olympics are happening and you hear, you know, whoever wins, they get their anthem. I think when they play our anthem, it sounds wonderful to hear it. I mean, compared to some of the other ones, they're kind of, you know, there's no gusto there. And I think there's gusto with our anthem. And I like the words. And, yes, it takes something to learn. And I think there's something to be said, you know, what your caller is saying about teaching the kids the words. I had to learn it on my own. And I was interested, you know, going to ball games, hearing it. I thought, I wonder what exactly all the words are. But I love the words. I love the way it sounds. I think it sounds patriotic. And so,
Hannah, thank you for your defense of the anthem. That is a good, definitely a good point. We needed that opinion to be fair and balanced journalists here. Kenya in Kansas City, Kansas. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling because during the New York commemoration of 9/11, they had a beautiful children's choir version of the national anthem, but it was in 4/4 time and not the original 3/4 time. And that just bugged me.
How did they do that? I can't even think of how you would do that.
Oh, say can you see?
I see. They added a beat to every measure then.
Exactly.
And you don't like that. You're a purist. You're with Jeremy
purist.
In the military
as
band.
Children, you know, children at a national commemoration of something so somber to screw it up that bad, even though it was well performed, just it rankled me.
And Courtney, last call in Charlotte. Go ahead.
Hi, yeah. So I got recruited to do the national anthem when I was 14 because nobody wants to do it, but I didn't know the words. So I quickly learned it, got up. Thought I did a great job, only to find out that I sang the same verse twice. So I did my best. So apparently we need to reteach the national anthem.
Thanks for your call, Courtney. And Pat Morrison, thank you so much for joining us. Pat Morrison is a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Andrea Seabrook.